Praise the Lord. I was asked to share tonight by Rusty, and I told him that the Lord had been stirring something in me, you know, because it says out of your belly will come forth rivers of living water. So I just got before the Lord, and this is what he gave me for you all and me. You know, these messages that the Lord has given me, it applies to me too. You know, I'm not the author of all this. The Lord is. So I think sometimes we hear preachers preach, and we think it's all them, and they're talking to us, but the Lord gives it to me, and then I have to deal with it, and then he'll have me share it with you all. But tonight we're going to talk about God's building, and I'm going to get my stopwatch ready and make sure we try to stay on time, okay? You know, at I'm almost 69, and at my age, you know, people that I know, a lot of them are my age, around my age. You know, I worked for 40-something years in the design and construction industry, and so now I can see toward the end of their lives where they're at. You know, they've lived a certain way, they've done certain things, they believed other things, and now it's toward the end of their life. Like I told my daughter, I'm on the fourth lap of a four-lap race, right? So we're getting toward the end. But it doesn't matter because we have eternal life. So I don't think like I'm going to get old and die. I just realize eventually I'll be with the Lord. And we will never die because we have eternal life through Christ. So we're talking about God's building. And some of these folks that I've talked to, you know, they're disappointed with their lives. One woman at work, a professional, an architect, indicated that she was not happy with her life. Things weren't going her way, and professed Christ, but I don't know how real that was or how committed she and her family were. But she said she didn't like her life, you know, and I told her, I said, well, you know, I like my life. In fact, I like me. And you know, but it's not that I'm conceited. It's I'm just the product of what God has been doing. Now, I don't like my old life because that was pretty messed up, and I was only 21. So imagine, you know, 45 more years or so of living my life, trying to build my life, trying to do what I thought I should do, what others were telling me how I should live, because we really are building a life. You know, we're adding line upon line, precept upon precept. And people in the world, they're listening to this, listening to that, and they're growing in knowledge, the worldly ways. We should be growing in knowledge of God's ways. And like I said, at my age, I can see the kind of the end product or near to the end product in other people's lives. And most of them, if not all of them that aren't saved, aren't real happy with their lives. And then others are realizing their life is getting close to ending as well. But the lives that they have built are built with bad plans, bad specifications, or no plans at all. They just sort of wander through life with no direction, no guidance, and now they're at the end, and there's not a whole lot to say positive about what they have and where they're going. And then there are those like us whose lives have been built by God to one degree or another, and his plans are excellent plans, and his specifications are excellent as far as instructing us how we should live. When I was a young Christian coming to the Lord and then learning different things, you'd learn a little bit here, maybe it was about faith, maybe it was about healing, maybe about witnessing, maybe forgiveness, going the extra mile, doctrinal things. So kind of learning little pieces. It's like a jigsaw puzzle, I imagined. So, you know, you get a few of the little puzzle pieces here, and it says, well, you know, that kind of looks like a tree over there. And over here, this kind of looks like, you know, maybe it's a waterfall. And then this one looks like part of the sky. So you're learning all these pieces, but then in my 60s, maybe mid-60s, early 60s, I started to see the whole picture, because there are enough of those little pieces that the Lord has done, and I can see what he's done. And you know how it is when you put together a jigsaw puzzle, and as you keep going, then you start seeing, oh, I see, it's a landscape and this and that. So it all started to come together. Now there's still a lot of pieces missing. You know, there's still pieces the Lord's teaching me, we're learning and we're growing. But I can kind of see the whole comprehensive picture of what he's trying to do and has done in my life. And it's a blessing because he's the one who's been at work. One woman told me, a contractor, that things never go her way. They'll never go her way. You know, and I thought, you know, things usually do go my way, you know, because my way is his way. Amen. And as we submit to him and he brings to pass his will in our lives, Amen. He's there ordering our steps, right? Shining his light on our path, teaching us, don't do this, but do this. And things generally go my way. Amen. And I give him the praise and thanks because I have two brothers and nothing's going well for them, you know, and kind of in difficult situations, and in their mind there's no way out. They're just stuck there. One of them is 2 years younger, one's a year older. But I thank God for his work in my life, and we should all be thankful when he has his way. But most people try to do it their way, and as a result, they're disappointed. Now, one of my brothers who is not involved in the design or construction industry, he was living with my mother, and my mother was in her 80s, I guess, and she wanted a handrail, so when she'd go up these seven steps to her house, she had something to hold on to. So my brother says, yeah, I want to build a handrail for Mom. How do you think I should do it? And I said, well, first of all, you got to get some treated wood. You got to prime it, back prime it, and the steps are brick. Don't anchor it into the brick because the mortar is soft and the brick is soft. So anchor it into the concrete at the bottom where the stairs start. So a few weeks, maybe a month later, I said, how did it go? How did the handrail go? He says, well, I talked to Joe, and Joe said, I didn't need to do it all like your brother said. He said, you don't need to do all that stuff, he said. And I said, well, who's Joe? He says, well, he's my friend. I said, well, what does Joe do? He says, Joe's a cook at the nearby restaurant. So I said, well, so sure enough, they didn't use the treated wood. They didn't prime it. They didn't anchor it into the concrete. And it's all shaky and wobbly. And my mother couldn't use it at all. But so we want to let someone who has knowledge and skill and learning and wisdom, if you will, the Lord, to build his life in us, and then we'll be blessed, we'll be useful, and others around us will be blessed. I'm going to tell you about a house that was built, and the owner invited someone over to look at the house, okay? And this owner built it himself with guesswork and advice from his friends and had no real training with construction, but he said he built it all himself, and he was kind of proud of the house he built. But when this other man walked in the house, he noticed that it was racked over and that the floors weren't level or stable. Things would kind of like move around and shake. And the owner said, well, when the nearby river rose, it washed out some of the foundation, and that foundation was built without any rebar, any reinforcing steel, so it had big cracks in it. And he said he skipped using the rebar because to save money. He said, somebody told me, a friend said, you don't need all of that. You know, just do it out of concrete. No reinforcing steel. Well, for what it's worth, concrete with rebar is like 10 times as strong, and you do need rebar most of the time. So the owner, the man said, well, what did you do about it? How did you fix it? He said, well, we just propped up the structure with some untreated 2x4s and concrete blocks, and his brother-in-law told him that that would work well. That's all he had to do. Well, we know that that's not going to work. You know, that's not going to support any kind of load. And then it was noticed that the window panes were missing or broken, and they leaked. You know, recent storms had damaged the windows. And the owner said that they taped some visqueen over the opening with, you know, some tape, some masking tape, but it still leaked. You know, they didn't stop the problem. And every now and then flies and mosquitoes would come in, but they said, well, that's all right. We just kind of swat them, you know, and it's okay. So I'm describing a house that's poorly built from bad information and from people that don't know what they're talking about. Then it was heard under the house and in the attic some noises, like animals running around. So the owner said the possums and the rats live under the house, and snakes sometimes would occupy the attic and make a nest. Okay, and one of the snakes bit his son, Junior, and his leg swelled up, but they think he'll be okay, you know. So, and then also it was noticed that the roof leaked in several locations, and the floorboards were buckled, and that's because they when they built the house, they used salvaged shingles from a teardown down the street, and, you know, the wind blew them off, and they did that to save money. So what they do now, they put buckets and towels to catch most of the water. All right, and then because of all this, some of the floorboards were rotted open, so they got some painted plywood and just nailed it over the holes. And they thought, well, yeah, we fixed all the problems. Everything's working great. And then it was noticed a strong odor was detected in the kitchen. That's because the gas line was leaking at some of the fittings. So someone told him, just wrap those fittings with some duct tape, and that, you know, and a neighbor said that's what he did at his house, and it worked pretty well. Okay, then some odors, some raw sewage smell, was detected in the rear yard, and that's because the sewer line broke when the house settled. So what they did, they just let the sewage run to the nearby river, and, you know, because they didn't know about septic tanks and how to reconnect it. And then they saw, was seen in back in the shaded area, you know, where the light wasn't real clear, there was a picture hanging on the wall in the living room. And the owners had said, well, yeah, that's a picture, that's a photo of Frank Sinatra, you know, Sinatra. And they have all his albums, but their favorite song is I Did It My Way. So that was their experience, you know, and in this poorly built house, but someone told them that this is how you should build it, and this is the best you're going to get, and they were satisfied with the construction, just put up with all the problems, and were totally misinformed about that and living a life that was not what certainly God intended for them, and not the type of house or construction any of us would want. But they were doing it all on their own. So a visitor came to this guy's house, and he said he knew an excellent master builder who would build them an excellent house and a well-designed home. And he would build it according to excellent plans and specifications. And his houses were built with strong foundations, solid framing, high-impact windows, 60-year shingles, the best plumbing, electrical, and HVAC systems. And this builder was willing to exchange his new house for the poorly built and damaged house because he wanted more land. He was going to tear it down and build more well-built houses. But the homeowner rejected the offer because he wanted to stay in his house that he built and didn't believe anyone would give him a new house in exchange for his old house. So we know the analogy, right? We build our houses poorly, not well done, don't work well, cause problems, conflicts, unresolved problems. But the Lord wants to give us a new house that He is building. And Psalm 127, verse 1 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. All right, and in 1 Corinthians 3, 9 through 11, it says, you are God's building. God is working in us. He's building us. Comparing it to someone building a house. And according to the grace of God, verse 10, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The first thing the Lord wants to do in our lives is build that strong foundation, which is Jesus. We're saved by his works, not our own. It's the gift of God. Jesus loved us while we were yet sinners and laid his life down for us. He's given us eternal life. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And that never changes. No matter what we're going through, what difficulty, we always stand upon what Jesus did for us. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. We didn't do it. But he did it for us. So that's the foundation. Once that's laid, then God can start building other things. So Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, says Jesus, heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So he's comparing a well-built house or a well-built life and a poorly built house and a poorly built life. And, you know, life is serious. People get injured. People die. People hurt others. Disease spreads, crime spreads, harm and all that. So the Lord wants to give us a life that is built by him, that is solid on a good foundation, and can withstand the storms of life. But for him to build that, we have to hear his word, believe his word, and do his word. And that's how it becomes part of us. I remember one time I was doing some work for another relative. Yeah, I must say, he has a lot of relatives. Yeah, I do. And this guy was kind of hard and tough guy. Yet before I was saved, I was the tough guy. You know, he was like not so tough. Well, now I'm saved, delivered, you know, humble and meek, right? And he knows that, so now he's going to be the tough guy. Threatened me. You know, I was working on his building. Where are the painters? Where are the carpenters? I said, well, they said they'd be here, you know. And I'll make sure they get here. I'll stay on until they do the work. Well, you better or else, you know, these mild threats. And I'm thinking, what are you going to do? Hurt me? What are you going to do? Sue me? But nevertheless, he made some threats, and I didn't really like what he was doing. I didn't like that at all. You know, my flesh was like, who are you to talk to me like that, you know? Because, you know, it's your pride gets hurt, and I didn't do anything wrong, but anyhow, that's how people in the world can live act and live sometimes. So the Lord spoke to me and said, you are in the fire right now of this little trial, and you are moldable. You're pliable. Your life is pliable. So now is the time to yield to me and not to your flesh, and then you will be more conformed to Jesus. But so when we go through these fiery trials, you know, the fire will test every man. That's when we're pliable. So the thing to do is to realize that this is an opportunity for me to be conformed into what God's trying to do in my life. In this case, putting on some humility, some patience, some kindness. And I did. So I got all my subs together, and this guy wanted it finished like Monday. So we finished it all by Friday. And he didn't know what to say. He couldn't argue or fuss or fight. God rounded up the troops, and we got it all done. And my testimony remained true, you know, telling everybody I'm a Christian, I love the Lord, I'm going to live as a Christian, and here's an opportunity to really do it. But when the fire is on us, that's when we're moldable. And it can be any trial that we go through. That's the time we need to seek the Lord, find out what's going on, if you can, and yield to the Holy Spirit and put on Christ, and then you become more and more conformed to his image. So in Philippians 2:13, For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked, perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And that's where I was. So I submitted myself to the Lord, do his will, not my will. And he brought his will to pass, dealt with this person. And I saw him maybe 3 years ago at a funeral. And he was expecting me to be angry with him and bitter, because this man's experience was he had a kind of a rough upbringing and was hurt. So his plan was, I'm going to hurt everybody around me. Anybody does me wrong, I'm going to get them. And he sued several people and threatened people. So now he's did me wrong and some other things that I don't have to mention. And I just showed him God's love, God's kindness, because that's what was in my heart toward him. And he couldn't understand why I wasn't angry with him, why I wasn't retaliating. And you know, I believe the Lord enabled me to let my light shine, or his light shine within me, to deal with this man so that he would realize that there's more to life than getting hurt and hurting others and taking advantage of people and fighting with people. Some people like to fight. I don't like to fight. I like to build. You know, I like to build things. And I know the Lord likes to build things. He made the whole universe, right? And he wants to build his life in us. But, you know, some kind of think, well, Lord, conform me to your image, and one day, poof, I'll be just like Jesus. Well, you have to go through some things and walk as he walked and submit to the Father's will, learn his word, apply his word, and the changes will then occur. It doesn't just happen like that, you know. Now, we got to remember, hear his word, learn his word, believe his word, do his word. Jesus said, it is not just a hearer, but a doer of my word. And that's how the changes come about. And in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to still keep going. Don't think, well, I'm old and God's finished with me. No, it's still more of those puzzle pieces he's trying to show us. So to where we would, you know, be fully mature in Christ and walk as he walked. And in 2 Timothy 4:2, we are to preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, because that's how others will then hear, believe, and then do God's will. The whole idea is that God would have his work in us. He would perform his will, and then we are then changed. And when we yield to love, God's love, then we become loving. When we yield to patience by the Holy Spirit, we become patient. I heard one woman said, she says, I'm just kind of a fiery personality, and I'm temperamental to keep everybody in their place. Well, we don't want to be temperamental. We want to be temperate, right? So when we yield to temperance, we become temperate, calm, peaceful, not up and down crazy, you know, consistent in our walk and as we deal with people and walk through this life. When we yield to kindness, we become kind. When we yield to forgiveness, we become forgiving. When we yield to Christ, we become Christ-like. And I can honestly say that after many years of forgiving and pardoning and going the extra mile, that he's changed me where that's much more easily comes out of me. But in the early days, not so much, because I'm still dealing with the old man and the new man. So this is how God builds in us a new life. And we need to reject those old plans, you know, all that old way we lived. And we need to let the Lord build us according to his new plans and specifications in our life. And in Ephesians 4, let's read. This is showing us the way God wants to build in us. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. That's for us. That's for all of us, for the perfecting of the saints, or the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, till we all, see, it's not just a few of us, it's till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, into a perfect or a complete man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And that's the end result of his work in us. Because Jesus is the only perfect man, and he gave us the perfect example. And that's what God wants to do in us, make us like him. That we hence, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. See, that's those old plans, those old specs that people were using. And I remember when I was in my teens and 20s, growing up, and you say, well, let's see, what do I do in this situation? And friends would say, well, you ought to do this. Or I would observe somebody on a movie or something, and they did this. When they got into this jam or this situation, they did this. So I'm developing this idea or vision for myself, which was of the world. Treat people like this, you know. Don't let them push you around. And go for the gusto. Do what you want. You deserve it. All that stuff, which were bad plans, bad specifications. Then you come to the Lord, and he says, love one another, forgive, go the second mile, turn the other cheek. It's God instructing us that we would believe him and then do it, and that's how he builds in us a new life. Now, we're not talking about getting saved by all of this. We're already saved. This is how he's building, wants to build in us upon that foundation of salvation, which is through Jesus and only Jesus. This I therefore, verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the old lifestyle, the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. It was built wrong with bad materials, bad technology, bad instructions, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. I mean, I'll say that when we were kids, I had two brothers, when we were 18, 19, my mother said, you boys curse like sailors. And I thought, well, what is a God? How does a sailor curse? Because I'd never been around sailors. But so, and all my friends did that. And then we learned, you know, to blaspheme, to take the name of the Lord, take God's name in vain, and just say it, rah, 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 rah. And my father said, why are you talking like that? We didn't think anything of it. I just did it because everybody else did it. And I worked on cars, you know, and you'd bust a knuckle on the exhaust manifold. Rah, 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 rah. You know, you'd curse, you'd swear, you'd get upset. Because that's what my friends were doing when they would get upset. So bad instructions, bad builders, bad materials, bad specifications, a bad life, completely bad life, and was being built to have an even worse life. Totally destructive and of no good, fit only to be burned. And that's why people go to hell. They're useless building their life, and some think, oh, I've done this, I've accomplished this, I've said this, I did that, so God will accept me into heaven. You're useless. There's no use for you in heaven. If we're not submitted to God's will, lovingly submitted to His will, you won't last in heaven, because in heaven, God's will is done from the heart by everybody, gladly, cheerfully, willingly, lovingly. So it's not these things that we do according to what others say or what religions teach us, but it's what God has taught us and built in us that will be of benefit when we're with the Lord in heaven. So let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And let all those old plans, bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And the new plans, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And you'll be a unique creature in this world, because other people are not like this. But we will be the handiwork of God, that God let him have his way. But again, that doesn't happen by just wishing or wanting or saying one or two prayers. It comes by hearing from God, from his word, who we are in Christ, putting on the new man and walking as he walked. So this is how the master builder builds his buildings, and we are his building. Amen? Amen. So brief message tonight, but I believe as we apply it and realize that God is working in us, within us, the will, the desire, and the ability to do his will, we'll be blessed. But people will think you're strange. They're like, I never met anybody like that. I never seen anybody like that. Because it's God working in us. You know, you and I will be unique buildings, unique individuals that God has had his way within us. Not saying we're perfect, but you can see the work, the project under construction that God has begun in us and will complete it, will keep working on it till the day of Jesus. And let's yield to him and let him do his will and quit trying to do it all ourselves. You know, we've talked about Jesus took bread, he blessed, he broke it, and he gave. Well, the breaking is when your will is broken, and your will, my will, is now to do his will, which is perfect and right and true and exactly who he made us to be. So the breakings are good because it's breaking our strong will, self-will. I'm told my daughters all have strong will, strong-willed women, and their husbands kind of say, yeah, they want to run the show, you know. And I said, it's not my fault, you know, it's not my fault. But as they yield to the Lord, as they continue to yield, God, I believe, will deliver them from that and produce more of his perfect will in their lives and ours. Amen. 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 Pray. It's only 32 minutes, so. Father, we give you thanks for Jesus, our Savior, who is conforming us to his image. And the Father is bringing his will to pass in us, making us to be like him. And I thank you for everyone in this room, everyone in this church, and that you would teach us more and more your ways. By your grace, enable us to submit to your will, to do your will. And you would be blessed, and we would be blessed, and our lights would shine. In the dark, dark world. Yes. Amen.